Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Always remember what God said when he had Moses to address Pharaoh. He said, I am sent you. He is living. He is here. He is available. He is. He said, and in first person, he said, I am. So now, when the Lord speaks, his word is valid. It's our reasonable duty to believe it. If a man can listen to a serpent with no credibility, he can listen to the Lord, his God and King. That's where we get our justice and our rights to operate on earth. In his name. Everything the Lord says must be met with reception until it becomes revelation to our heart and then to our mind. And then in our body, it becomes our activity. It's what we act on. That's what you call faith. When the word becomes revelation on the inside, it renews your mind within. Now your soul is on board. Then it gets into your actions. See, the body responds to the heart and mind. It takes information from the superior boss, which is the heart, and the manager, which is the mind. And then it acts. You know, when I worked in the shop, we had the superintendent was the ultimate boss, and the supervisor, he organized the shop and gave out what was supposed to happen. So he knew what the superior, what the superintendent wanted, and he knew what we were supposed to do, and things worked right when there was order. When the superintendent was on board with what was right, then the shop supervisor, which was like the manager, was on board with what's right and what's necessary. Then they'd tell the mechanics what to do, and we'd do it. And everything would go smooth. But if the heart is out of sync, and even if the mind is willing, if the heart's out of sync, everything gets kind of haywire. We are three-part beings. We will always, forever be three-part beings. God is three-part beings. And when he did it for a reason. The Lord loves, one thing I notice about the Lord, he thinks of everything. And remember, he's holy and just. Whatever he does is going to be right and well thought out. But in order to deal with sinful men, he had to have a mediator. Not just Jesus, our Savior, but also someone who could plead our case so that he could deal with us from his holy perspective. Remember something about God. God doesn't have a sin nature. And though he knows all things, he don't seem to understand why you should sin. But he knows you're trapped. He's looking at it from a holy perspective. And it's a blessing that he's three-part being. Spirit, soul, body. Jesus is the Word of God. He's the extension. He did all the work. The Holy Spirit gave the vision of what needed to be done. The Holy Spirit moved upon the waters. And then the Father said, let there be light. Or even light be. And now we got glory. His glory covered the earth. You saw it for what it was. Now remember, when that happened, God turned all the luminaries off. Those are the suns. All the suns in outer space were off. Because of judgment, God had to do judgment. He had to kill evil. He destroyed the civilization that was on earth. And in this solar system, he destroyed it. And he wanted everybody to take notice. See, there are clues in the Word of God you got to look at. When I first read this, being a mechanic, I think about how things work. When God said, "Let there be light," all eyes was on earth. From every region, you can see the glory of God is not like the light of the sun. It goes everywhere and it's perfect. When God said, "Let there be light," when his glory shone upon the earth, there was nowhere, I believe, nowhere in the universe you could be and not see earth. Because God was doing activity here. And he restored it. This was recorded. This was watched by every living being. This was the headlines of the day. Not on earth, but because of earth. And God said, "Let there be." And he had full revelation for every word he spoke. He had no doubt. He had no unbelief. He operates no different than we do. In fact, everything that God spoke, he spoke a word from his resources of revelation knowledge. When his word becomes revelation knowledge to us and we speak it by faith, there is no force in the universe that can stop it, prevent it, or bring it down. Because when we're in line with his will, his word, and we speak it, this is why Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask whatever you will and it will be done." It is impossible for it to go any other way. Now that's when you believe the word is revelation to you and you speak it with your authority. And it's got to happen. Now we talked about firewalls this week. And that's a new word that people use, for computers. They got it from automobiles. Automobiles run on a internal combustion engine. So they put what they call a firewall between the engine and the passenger. If the motor burns up, you have a few minutes to get out of the car because you're shielded. If the carburetor catches on fire and everything gets lit under the hood, you have a wall of protection. Now, because of legalities, a Ford engineer told me, he said, they don't call them firewalls anymore. I forgot the term he used. It was another term for it. He said, because our cars don't catch on fire. And he's right. You're less likely to get a car caught on fire because the fuel injection system is safer than carburetors. Carburetors is open to the atmosphere. The fuel is controlled. It's hard to get to fuel now because of the way they made. They don't catch on fire unless a mechanic do something to it that they shouldn't do to it. And anything is man-made. Anything can happen, but it really takes somebody to go under there and do something that they shouldn't do, or a fuel line rub against something it shouldn't rub against because somebody disturbed it. The factory is very good about keeping that organized, but if somebody do something, anything can happen because it is man-made, but the factories do such a good job now. It's rare to see a car catch on fire, and usually 9 times out of 10, if it does, it's some mechanic worked on it and did something wrong. But nevertheless, they call it a firewall. Now, in your software, to blockade the people that will hack your computer, they put up a firewall. I love Webroot, and then they had McAfee, but I love Webroot. I'm not trying to do a commercial for them, but I love the way I hadn't had issues with my computer since I had it. So that firewall keeps out what you don't want in. But guess what? Satan has firewalls too. And it comes in, it's hidden in our lack of knowledge. So the more God's word become revelation to you, then you will begin to see The satanic firewalls, the limitations, the doubts, the unbelief, the fears, things that's hidden in your blind spot, you'll be able to see it for what it is. And this is how what happened in my life. Now, when the Lord give you revelation knowledge, when he would teach me about following God, I received it as revelation. I had a reference for what God was talking about. The people that I was talking to, they were more like Eve was in Adam's day. Adam knew, don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he told Eve, don't eat off of it. Because she said, the way she put it, don't eat off of it or touch it lest you die. And the serpent said, you won't surely die. He lied. Now she's in doubt. She began to be in doubt. And she looked at the fruit. It was a fruit to be desired. She probably already wondered what it tasted like. And the enemy was watching. Now the enemy is calculating. He watches to see our whole response to things before he tempts us. Before he, you know, he think people, angels and men are so similar in their ways. People always think that you think like they do. If they love pride, it's easy for them to believe you love pride. If they are lustful, it's easy for them to believe that you are lustful, or it's hard for them to believe that you're not. Same thing. If they're greedy, it's easy for them to believe that others are greedy, and it's hard for them to believe that others are not. If whatever it is, it goes both ways, you know. I think it was James or Paul said that to the pure, all things are pure. I think it was in James. To the pure, all things are pure. To the froward, all, you know, everybody's froward. That's telling you that people think that you think like them. Satan's no different. So when she saw that fruit, he probably saw how her eyes dilated or how her heart beat faster or whatever. Because he can see that. He's more, you know, he's spirit. Spirits see, they look at everything. It's kind of like when we fix cars, we plug that computer up. And when it goes to the data screen, we see everything going on. We don't just see the vehicle, we see what's going on inside because of the monitors. Well, that's how spirit, Satan or angels, and God see us. They see everything going on. So he probably had an aha moment. He watched how she responded. And he probably saw the same things in Adam, but Adam knew not to touch it. And he's still perfect. He doesn't know what sin is. He didn't know what sin is yet. Sorry about that. That was my compressor kicked on. Had the valve open. Anyway, nevertheless, continue. A spirit considers everything. They're less restricted than people in the body. And I believe we got that way over time. We're spirit too. But see, after the fall, a lot of things were lost. But before the fall, Adam was very sharp. In fact, I notice in the whole Word of God, people talk with more depth and gravity the closer they were to Adam. But the further they got away from Adam, the generations didn't talk with the wisdom as much. I'm talking about everyday people. Remember Job's friends? If you look at that dialogue, and forget about what they're saying against Job, but look at every one of them, all four men, said things that was just perfect wisdom. It just didn't apply to Job the way that they thought. And Job tried to justify himself. But if you look at the dialogue, without it being misdirected against Job or Job trying to justify himself, the wisdom is high standard. And they didn't have the Word of God written by Moses. Like, they didn't have the Word of God like we have. They had it differently. They were closer to Adam. They knew the stories, and they stuck with. They had to do some breaking through just to stick with what Noah taught. And in those days, they were closer to Noah. They had a witness. They had four witnesses about the pre-flood. Well, really, eight witnesses about the pre-flood world. Now, most people ran away from that and started getting into idolatry with those giants, and you know. But they stuck with it. They broke through. But the closer you get to Adam, the more people talk with greater wisdom. But the further you get away, you don't see them talking that way anymore. Until Jesus came. Now, but the point being is this. Spirit looks at everything. Older people do it. They can, you know, as a parent, I can tell that something's bothering my son by his footsteps. I know when he's happy. I know when he's sad. I know when he's frustrated. And I can almost tell you why. I don't, you know, it's weird. But spirit monitors more than the natural mind will or can. Now, when the word of God becomes revelation to you, if the Lord brings something to you, don't diminish it because of the firewalls set against God. Now, people say, well, I wouldn't dare have a firewall against God, but yet we do. That's just, if you lived in this world a long time, you've got coping mechanisms already in place to help you deal with the foolishness of this world. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good. But the biggest problems are the limitations. You know, Jesus worked miracles. Now you got modern day Christians that struggle to believe that God will heal them. And when I asked the Lord about healing, I said, why do people struggle with healing? He said, he told me it's as easy as picking fruit. And I had to go and think for a few days. And I said, Lord, I knew the word, I believe it. I know what Jesus did. I know he by his stripes we're healed. I said, Lord, there's something that I missed out on. It's something I don't know. See, that's where we need to get to. Honesty. I said, Lord, there's something that we're not getting, and I don't know what it is. And at church, Michael England talked about a man that had cancer, and they told him he had a death sentence. He was going to die. And the Lord asked him, said, do you love your wife? Yes. Do you believe your wife loves you? Yes. He was getting revelation from the Lord. He said, do you believe I love you? And he paused, and he thought. Now, if God loved me, for sure he'd definitely heal me. Well, that was the will of God way before he was born or even got to the point that he could even have cancer. And the Lord put countermeasures in place. All he have to do is reach out and take his healing and don't doubt it. How easy can it be? Jesus said, if you believe and doubt not in your heart, you can speak to this mountain and tell it to be moved to the ocean and it will obey you. Now, why can't people literally do that? The only reason is because they don't believe they can. That's it. And they don't believe it in their heart. But if you believe anything of God in your heart, you know, God don't cast out God. So if you believe the spirit of the word of God as revelation, and you choose not to doubt in your heart, you can do what Jesus did. In fact, God did things just like we do it. And we're designed to do things just like God does it. And Jesus did things just like the Father did. He didn't act like he had a hard time getting people healed. The only time was when they were in unbelief. That restricted him. And it will restrict God from performing his love in your behalf. And he knows this. So that's why if you're a Christian, you love God, you struggle with healing, go to the elders and get healed anyway. Elders is people that they know God and they don't take no for an answer. That's the best way I can describe an elder. It's not about their age. It's about their ability to operate in faith. They are mature in their heart enough to receive the word of God as revelation, and they can pray for you. An elder can be a child. One thing I noticed about people, if you have innocence, if you innocently and sincerely love God, innocence, sincerity, and obedience. Innocence, sincerity, and obedience. All of this comes out of the love. So in the song the Lord gave me, the angel sang, the more you love, the more you live. Isn't that beautiful? The more you love, the more you live. So the more you love God, the more you live. The easier it is. Your faith works by love. So whatever God is saying to you, don't just put it on the back of the shelf somewhere and forget about it. Receive it in your heart and ask every question that comes to your mind. This is how you kill doubt. You have to have relationships with God. You have to dialogue and talk about it. Anything God brings to you is worth discussing. If he really wants you to perform this and introduce a greater knowledge on earth where it's needed, because Jesus said he wanted it to be on earth as it is in heaven, you have to receive the word in your heart, and you have to do something about, I like to put it this way, you have to drive out the Canaanites. That's your firewall. God gave us a representative of our heart. The promised land reveals to us God's perfect will of the heart. He gave us a new heart. He's given them a new land. But they got to drive out the Canaanites, all of them, and not make deals with them, Joshua said. And he got it from God. So Joshua was the manager. God, the superintendent. The superintendent said, drive out all the Canaanites. Now, Christians are struggling to receive revelation in the first place because they did a sloppy job of driving out their Canaanites. Now, when I knew I had doubt, I said, Lord, how do I kill it? every obstacle that was an obstacle to me, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm like a brand new computer. I was like a brand new computer with no programming. When he called me to the ministry, okay, Lord, I want to do. I don't like the fact that you called me because I don't know what to do. I said, if I'm going to do this, you got to show me what to do. And when he gave me a message, I was interested. I knew God would be involved. Now I've seen it happen in others, but I didn't. When I experienced it, now God's present help was revelation to me. When I almost lost it and got in a fight and said evil words and all this stuff, the Lord spoke a word. He said, everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. And I understood it this way, unconditional love. And I had vision because I was trying. I wanted to stand and represent Jesus, but I didn't have no more strength, and I was about to cuss and fight. Well, preachers don't cuss and fight. Well, they do if they run out of juice. I had just been called to the ministry, and I hadn't acted like that since I was saved, and now I'm about to lose it. So when the Lord said, everlasting love, it strengthened me. My heart took over again. My mind was processing and my body said, wait, whoa, let's do this. You know, I was charged. That's how I have revelation, that when the Lord speaks something to you, it can charge your heart, give you strength, and you'll be able to stand. I said, man, I'm going to go buy us a drink. We're going to talk about it. And I spoke according to the love of God, and it worked. Now, after that, on the way home from work that day, I said, Lord, this is going to happen again. Teach me how to love your people. Best prayer I ever prayed besides salvation. And he began to teach me about people. But when he taught me to love people, I received it as revelation. Not just, I wasn't a forgetful hearer. I received what he was saying sternly in my heart. It's like I stuffed all the love of God in my heart that I could get. And when I read the word, I gravitated to what was the most important thing. When I heard the faith message, when others were using the faith message to achieve the American dream, I said, what good is the American dream if you're about to fall off the wagon? So I received the word of God. I wanted my heart fortified. I wanted to know I would stand. When the enemy tried to tempt me, I got revelation against temptation and tore up those firewalls. Then he taught me not to fear temptation. I tore up that firewall, and I was free ever since. Because I found out something. I couldn't even put it in words in those days, but I understood it by the Holy Spirit, that if you love a person with the God kind of love, you cannot lust after their body, their mind, or their spirit. Sometimes when people commit adultery, it's not just the body that they look at. It's the mindset of a person, and their spirit is compatible. But see, when you're married, you have to reject, no matter how compatible a person is, they got to be rejected. And the love, because of the love of God, I had the ability to do all those things that were necessary and live in joy and enjoy the peace of God. And it was beautiful. I was able to see that when you do things God's way, it's a beautiful life. Now, when you follow God, see, when he taught me about following God, I received it as revelation, and I expected, because that's what I did, I expected others to do it, and they could have if they would have humbled themselves. God gave them a reference, but they tried to follow God according to their specifications, and they never learned to follow God according to revelation, which is God's specification. If they had received the revelation that the Lord was trying to give them, I saw what their ministries would do. Now, when you go back to the parable of the sower, Jesus said in Mark 4, and he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. The sower is full of revelation. So he said, the sower went out to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside where people walk. The ground is hard. And the fowls of the air came and divided up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. The sun was up. When the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. They didn't receive it as revelation. So when it got hot, they discarded the word of God, and they continued in their own ways. The same reasons that people do these things today, same reason. There's four reasons. It's four conditions, and people fall into one of these four categories. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Some people prosper, but they make a god out of their prosperity, and it chokes the word. They bear no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased and brought forth. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Bearing fruit is, if even though you're washed in the blood of Jesus, if you're going to bear fruit, you have to receive the word of God as revelation. It has to be in you. It has to grow in you. It has to grow roots. You have to have a better understanding. You have to do these. You have to decide, I'm going to believe God's word inside my heart. And then once you have that revelation, you drive out all the Canaanites that come to steal, kill, and destroy. The first one is a hard heart. You have to soften it. The second problem, the stony ground, where there's a lot of stones, it's hard, you know, you got rocks, too many rocks in the soil. You have to drive out that hard heart and become humble. The main reason people didn't follow God was because they believed the seducing spirits. And the Lord taught, I'm not making this up. The Lord taught, I always wonder why didn't the pastors follow God according to his specs, according to his specification. And recently, not long, a few months ago, he said it's because they took heed to seducing spirits. The seducing spirits were like the big rocks. And they did the word didn't grow deep enough. And they let it go. Now, they had enough word not to let the birds take it. The demons couldn't take it from them. But the lies from the seducing spirit was their firewall. And they didn't bring forth fruit. And some of them began to obey, you know, most of them tried to obey God according to their specs. But see, the lust of other things entering in, it chokes the word. And as they began to prosper, you got to stay focused on God and what he's doing in order to receive revelation from him. But if you focus on anything else, if you focus on the ministry start, a lot of ministries die as they prosper. Before they prosper, they do everything it takes. And when it starts prospering and more people start coming, you're already ministering the word. You're receiving the word and you're giving the word. So if you don't receive enough word, something, you're going to be distracted against what God is trying to give you to make everything easy. So following God is necessary. But those that receive the word in good ground, they bring forth fruit. I like the way that Luke said it, with patience. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. To next